There is a hadith that on the day of Qiyamah, the day of judgment, an announcement will be made, a call will be made on the plane of resurrection, that, O people, that you are here in front of your Lord, your Creator, and your rewards, take them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take them, receive them. This announcement, this voice will be this announcement for a special select group of people, and this announcement will be presented or made on the Day of Judgment. And normal people will not benefit from this announcement. Rather, there will be a select group of people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call, come to your Lord, your Creator, and take your rewards. Take your rewards. So brothers, can there be anyone more fortunate than this? More lucky than this? That on this such a severe day, Qiyamah day, Hashr day, severe day, that no one in the world will have seen a more distressing day than this in before that or after that. It will be a day of total where people are lost and people will be upset and distressed. And we read the Quran and the Hadith with regards to that day. And that day will come when we will be standing there. And nobody will know what his consequence will be. And in that situation, from Allah Ta'ala, an announcement will come. That come, Allah is calling you to Him. That take your rewards from Me. Think about this. On a day when people will be confused, utterly confused. And on that, the hadith tells us, on that, at that time, which people will they be that Allah will be calling them? And Allah will say, come, take the rewards from Me. What will be Allah Ta'ala's rewards at that time? Can we imagine? So what type of people will there be? Or will they be who will be called? This hadith has come to us, my friends. This is not a minor thing, is it? And those people who are listening to this, who Allah Ta'ala is making the person listen, then they are not normal people in reality, those who are listening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives His ilm to that person who Allah Ta'ala loves immensely. Who Allah Ta'ala loves immensely. Why? Because on the day of judgment, due to this knowledge, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will distribute the rewards to people. And through ilm, through knowledge, Allah Ta'ala has given us many means to learn ilm in the world. Many. Think. Yes, one that is in front of us present, Darul Uloom, you learn, or through dars, through a speech. That's how we attain ilm. That's not the only way. If this was the only way, then that's a special jamaat, isn't it? That's a special jamaat, a group of people who are doing that work of deen. Allah Ta'ala has selected them that attain ilm. But every man and woman, Allah Ta'ala says, ilm reaches to every man. And Allah Ta'ala has given us many means and resources to attain ilm. Sometimes you learn, you hear the speech of Jummah, you're being made an alim. You sat in a majlis, a kitab is being read, you're being made an alim. Remember this. You sat somewhere and there's a dars of Quran, you are becoming an alim. Yes. And in the akhirah, the amount of ilm a person will have, Allah will give the reward to that person, and Allah will take his accounting in that way as well, according to his ilm knowledge. Allah says, I will ask you to answer for the ni'mas that I gave you on the Day of Judgment. Remember this. That every ni'mah that Allah Ta'ala has given worldly hereafter, Allah will take the hisab, kitab that I gave you this. How do you spend this time? What did you do? How do you spend this resource? What a big dua Allah Ta'ala stated. That Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has sought refuge and has taught us. Allahumma na'udhu bika ilman la yanfa'u. That Allah, please protect me. We seek forgiveness and protection and refuge. That you give us ilm and we don't take benefit from that ilm. What a great statement. Yes, you seek refuge from that thing which will give big punishments from Allah. Big punishments. That's where we seek refuge. The du'as that Rasulullah ﷺ taught us, he taught us to seek refuge from those consequences or actions that give big losses. So Allah's Nabi ﷺ sought refuge. And from amongst the du'as of refuge, there was one that Allah, don't give us such an ilm that we cannot benefit from the ilm. Then that's, we should get ilm that we can benefit from. Allah, you give us knowledge, give us that information and ilm that you have told us that we can benefit from it. We can benefit from it. So every alim will be accounted for, questioned, whatever status he's on, he will have to give the hisab. Allah said, I made you, I gave you a chance. No, otherwise everybody would be an alim, would go to a madrasa. But Allah Ta'ala said, I want to make everyone an alim and every woman an alim. This hadith I've read in front of you. Allah Ta'ala has put this into my mind and I read this hadith. And then Allah put this into my mind that where you're going, also share with them. Thousands of men and women are listening at this moment in time. So what's happening now? That am I giving you some story about Layla and Majnu, na'udhu billah, or Heer Ranja story, or Romeo and Juliet story, am I telling you? No. This is hadith and Quran. And when a person reads hadith and Quran, then both ears and body should be alert and connected. They should be immersed, totally focused, because you're becoming an alim. The ilm that Allah Ta'ala has given to you now, the knowledge. We're sat here now, we're just having a chat. No. Never think like this. Never consider it like this. It will never be the case. Ajib, through different unique methods and resources. It's not necessarily that you have to be a big shot alim who tells you something. If Allah wants to deliver knowledge to you, then from such a man, Allah will deliver knowledge to you who doesn't have any ilm, who doesn't have any knowledge. And through those people, Allah will make you an alim. Could be. It's possible. Allah's principles and laws are His own. But we are old, young, children, youth, women, men. Allah has prepared such means that ilm comes to us. According to this day and age, we are desperately in need that hadith, they reach to us, they arrive to us. You remember this. So whenever we listen to a verse of the Quran, or there's ilm discussion, don't think, oh, I've heard the speech. In the morning we ask, what did you hear? Oh, I don't know what was said. I don't know. We have no recollection. We just leave the gathering and forget. Well, we just came to do dhikr. No, if you came to do dhikr, then Allah will just make you do dhikr on its own. So this is not the case. What we are lacking, Allah Ta'ala through the Quran and Hadith wants to make that lacking distant. What a big message that we're learning today. That me and you, will we not be on the day of resurrection? Won't we be there on the day of judgment? We won't. Well, we will, won't we? Won't we be there on the day of Qiyamah? Or is it just the Sahaba Ikram who heard this Hadith and they'll be there? That if this was the case, then how did this Hadith come to us today? Me and you were listening to this, sat here. So we need to think about this. Think about it properly in depth. Every man is listening, alhamdulillah, sat down listening to this. How? For this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us ilm, information. Ilm is to acquire knowledge. On the day of Hashr, there will be such a jamaat, group of people from Allah ta'ala, an announcement will come. Come. Allah is calling you to Him and Allah is going to distribute your rewards. Allah says, come, take your rewards from me. This is the time for your reward. And the day of Qiyamah, Hashr day, will be such a severe day. Do we know what it will be? There are two types of people will be on the day of judgment. For one, there will be a day of happiness, and for the other group of people, it will be a day of distress, sadness. For those who will be a day of happiness, who? Those people who made effort for that day. And those who will lose out, who spent their whole life in negligence, laziness, they don't even care or know this day is going to come. Just like when the result, examination result comes out, there are two types of students. One who hide, they know I'm going to fail. I'm going to fail, I can't pass. How? It's D-Day, Judgment Day, results coming out, mum and dad are going to beat me. And there's the other student who worked hard all year long, and he's looking at, what's my grade? What high grade did I get? What did I achieve? And he's happy, the students, that quickly I want the result. And the others are crying, I don't want the result to come, I don't want the result to come. The same on the day of Qiyamah, Judgment Day, my brothers. Judgment Day. And it's going to definitely happen. There will be a group of people who will be happy. Oh, we're so lucky. We're free from the world now. We were so tired of working hard. Now we're going to get the result. Now we're going to get the result. These are those people I will say, come, take the reward from me. End of story. End of story. So what does the hadith say to us? What is the information we're receiving today? The information we're receiving today, as Allah Ta'ala said, there will be a jamaat, a group of people. So what do we need to do? Allah has given us the hint that you should be included in those people who get this announcement. You should be those people because you're being told. this news now in advance. Allah is not telling the previous nations. Allah is saying, you who are listening to this today, that I'm telling today, you've received this information. What's your job duty when you've heard this hadith? Then immediately we need to implement this, that we need to include ourselves in that group who will hear, Allah will call us, and we're going to Allah to get the reward. This is what we need to do. And whoever doesn't do this preparation, double sin on his head, double punishment. One, I made you alim, I gave you the ilm, I gave you the knowledge. One hadith, if it reaches to you, you are an alim total. And the person who does amal, he then is an alim by amal. Who are practicing amal, he'll wake up on the day of judgment. So it's not a restricted group. We think, oh, it's just the Maulvis. Alim comes, if he studies this, he'll be an alim scholar. No, alhamdulillah, there's no such restriction in Islam. There isn't. Allah's placed no restriction. We think Allah says that, yes, there is a group of people. Yes, there are alims who Allah Ta'ala allows to become scholars. And they follow a certain routine. Every man and woman, alim and alima, you have got status. You have got a high rank. One is for learning the ilm, the knowledge. And number two, to do amal on that imal. So the ba'amal amil, who practices his knowledge. So do you make niyyah today on listening to this hadith that you'll do amal on this? Put your hands up if you make the niyyah. Put your hands up. I want to see my class. MashaAllah, mashaAllah. Should enjoy ourselves in this. Or we just here banging a drum and making noise. Or we come in to see our faces. Look at each other's faces in this gathering. Otherwise, I'd never told this hadith, never did, would Allah allow me to think this in my mind or read this. I've told you before how I speak, how do the hadiths come, how do the hadiths come in my mind. I just quickly before I come, I look at the page and tuck, it comes into my heart, and then I deliver it to you. SubhanAllah. Because Allah Ta'ala knows that this man is going to this gathering today. And he's not going there to play games or a drama or function or food. Let's enjoy ourselves. This man from morning, he in his mind and heart is one intention. We're going there to do dhikr of Allah. So when doing the dhikr of Allah, Allah Ta'ala knows the example of a gathering of dhikr is what? That where you put the sugar, then the flies will come. Do the flies come when there's no sugar? No food? So Allah says, where there's dhikr, then the ashiks will also come to dhikr. Allah knows the lovers of dhikr. Say SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. Allah says, majlis, to establish it is my job, and to invite the ashiks is also my job. SubhanAllah. They'll run to the gathering. Those whose ruhs, who are desperate for my dhikr, who love my dhikr in their bodies, in their hearts, I've instilled the love of my dhikr. They will fly. They will fly to my dhikr gathering. From every corner of the world, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 5 a.m., they'll be sat down. Dhikr is about to start. Dhikr is about to start. And this is the best opportunity that I, into their heart, will insert the love of my dhikr. I've dragged them, pulled them, they've arrived to dhikr. Now I will desire that every man and woman, I want to make them an alim, Allah says. I want them to become a scholar. Because I'm an empty box, Allah said, make this box faster, put something into his heart so he can go and share with the others. SubhanAllah. So Allah Ta'ala puts it into my heart, then I straight away share it with you. I share it with you. So you've become alims now, haven't you? Do you have yaqeen and belief in what I'm saying? That every man will be an alim today. Every man, yes, totally, 100% alims you are. When I tell you hadith or Quranic verse, consider that this is an ilm class. Darul Uloom is established. Say SubhanAllah. We are in the class of Darul Uloom. And this Darul Uloom's head is who? Principal, SubhanAllah. Allah Ta'ala is the principal, headmaster. He is running this Darul Uloom, not some human being. Allah is running it. Do you understand? Is that man running this? And who is the muhtamin? The principal? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the muhtamin. The principal. What a great class me and you are sitting in now. What a brilliant class we're attending right now, this class of ilm. Direct the faiz is coming from Allah to you. Direct. So how much Allah Ta'ala must enjoy, like those who have come to this gathering today. And Allah's rahmah is waiting that these people today, listening today, tomorrow the day of judgment will come. Tomorrow, it's tomorrow. Very soon, not far away, very close to us. At that time, Rasulullah said, Qiyamah is very close. Tell me, at that time, that Qiyamah is very qareeb to you, close. Allah is waiting for that day. These people will come, this Jamaat, my dhakir is men and women, dhakirin, whoever they are, they'll be stood on the day of Jamaat. I'll call them, come take your reward, come take your reward. SubhanAllah. So you are an alim, you're a scholar. And he who today, or she today, has not accepted this hadith, then tomorrow that person will have a very bad day of judgment. So what does it say in this hadith? That some people, there will be a group of people on the day of judgment, who will be called from Allah, by Allah, that come to me. Has this ever happened? Allah is calling them on the day of judgment, come. Imagine how big shots they will be. Come, no hisab kitab, no reckoning, take your rewards and go, SubhanAllah. Imagine, do you all want to be in that group? Yes, then Allah Ta'ala has told us, Allah has given us the message, that it's now our job to implement and practice, it's our job to practice, that we so we can rise with that group. So what will that be, that amal, what ibadah, that worship through which a person becomes something? We need to do the amal. So let's now go to part two. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you understood part one, everyone? Yes, that we have to do this action. We've realized now we have to do this action. Why? For this reason, that we don't want to jump, or we want to get that maqam on the Day of Judgment. We want that result. We're not doing this. Is for me. It's not from some other special person. For me, you, everyone who's listening right now, every man and woman, this maqam can be attained on the Day of Judgment. Do you have yaqeen and belief in this now? Should we go to part two now? So what should we do to become part of that group? What action? Do that action. Then we should start our job from today. Shall I tell you what that is? What is the task so we can start our task from today, our duty, and get that reward? So the first point is this, subhanAllah, glory be to Allah. Such a great reward we're attaining. Everyone thinks in their mind, I don't know what ibadah I must have done to get that reward in the hereafter. What a big hurricane I must have initiated that we sat here and we have an inferiority complex. People like us were useless. I haven't even prayed salah. It's so hard for me to go to the masjid jama'ah to pray. I can't even imagine, how will I get that reward in the Day of Judgment? We say this, don't we? And if that amal comes, you have to read 1,000 nafil, or read this many hundreds of Quran, or keep going on Hajj every year, and do X, Y, Z, give sadaqah. Allah, how will I do this? It's too hard. How will I get this word? Okay, fine. So this is the first point we think, isn't it? Now this maqam Allah Ta'ala is mentioning, such a great result on the Day of Judgment. This is not from some physical bodily ibadah. This has no link with a bodily physical worship action. No worship action, bodily, physical, has a link with this reward on the Day of Judgment. None. SubhanAllah. That this is not the ibadah of the body, rather it is the habit of the heart that will give this reward. Allahu Akbar. It is not the physical bodily worship action, it is the habit of the heart that will give this result. Just like the body does ibadah, doesn't it? Salah has no link with this result. Yes? So what ibadah will give this result? That will be done by the qalb. That has the link with this reward on the Day of Judgment. Do you understand? A very easy nas action. So we have to do this action with our hearts. Not body, physical, hard work, effort. Rather, it's the habit of the heart that Allah Ta'ala wants. Allah says, then you'll get this reward on the Day of Judgment. Allah's announcement. Remember this. Remember this. That just like from the body, your body, ibadah you do, worship we do, ibadah. So just like ibadah of the body, the ibadah makes your body beautiful. In the same way, habits make your heart beautiful. Remember this. The body, husn, the beauty of the body is ibadah. And the beauty of the heart is adat, habits, regular actions. Remember this point, what I'm saying. Yes, so the bodily beauty is due to his physical actions. And the heart beauty comes from adat. Just like the body is beautiful from amal. Look, he prays salah, he reads Quran. On his face is the nur of tahajjud. On his face is the hajj of nur of hajj. Isn't it? We say this. So in the same way, the heart enlightens with the adat, with the habits. Good habits. Yes, and further, subhanAllah. Just like the heart and the body, if there is a competition, then the heart is greater than the body. So in the same way, when we compare the two ibadah, which ibadah becomes afdal? The ibadah of the heart will be greater on the Day of Judgment. That's why Allah is not inviting us due to the bodily worship. Allah is inviting us from the worship of the what we do in our hearts. Do you understand what I'm saying? We don't understand. Tell me, do you understand? Yes, what is the ibadah of the heart then, which is greater than the ibadah of the body? The ibadah of the qalb, my brothers, are those habits, that akhlaq, conduct, mannerisms, ethics, about which Allah Ta'ala is mentioned in the Quran. Allah says that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his khuluqin azim, that my mahbub Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he had the greatest akhlaq from the whole of mankind in the universe. Best akhlaq, best manners, best character, best ethics, azim, the greatest, and from before till the end, till Qiyamah, the greatest akhlaq belongs to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when a man does ibadah from his heart, and he aligns his heart to the correct path, when he starts the ibadah of the qalb, then those habits that were the habits of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam come into that person's life. So the adat, the habits, those azim, greatest habits, are linked to that person in the same way. Just like a person's adat, his habits, his character starts to link up with the Prophet, then he starts to become azim, the great person, isn't it? So azim for this reason, because he gets such a high status from the ibadah of akhlaq. Soon as his akhlaq improves, because our qalb is linked to the akhlaq, as soon as a person's akhlaq improves, conduct improves, then that insan becomes azim, high level, to this extent that he gets to that maqam in the akhirah, that Allah Ta'ala himself calls him, that come, take your reward from me, come. SubhanAllah. So this is what is being prescribed. The ikhlaqi ibadah, this is the worship of the from the heart, That person will do amal, due to which he will be included in that group, will be called by Allah. What was the habit of the Prophet ﷺ? What a great habit, that the person who accepts this great habit and he brings it into his life, he will get that result. Rasulullah's habits were the greatest. Obviously, if it was his habit, then we'll embrace it and take it. So such an azeem habit, great habit of Rasulullah, azeem sunnah of his, azeem akhlaq he had, that whoever embraces it, takes it, then he also will become azeem and great in the akhirah and the hereafter. Subhanallah. What was that action? The habit of the heart. What in this hadith is being prescribed? That these will be those people who will have ajib, a unique action, ibadah, through which they will become great. Their action, their habit will be such that they will wash their hearts, clean their hearts, that they will do tazkiyah on their hearts, rectify their hearts, they will work hard on their hearts, they will look after their hearts, they will always be thinking that I need to correct my heart. All the asbab, the resources, the means, the methods, the practices they will adopt, that will improve their hearts beyond better. This is for those people. Those who don't think about their heart, have I got a heart, is there dirt on my heart, is it clean? We don't know, there's dirt on my heart for years, Allah's ordered that you're doing one sin. Rasulullah said if you do one sin, then it is a dot on your heart, another sin, a dot on your heart, another sin, a dot on your heart, to the extent it becomes like black coal, your heart. So don't we sin? Or is it the angels that we think we're angels? Or is, then if we're angels, then why are we doing the things we're doing? So what do people do who are people of understanding, who understand this point? They say that as soon as a sin attaches to my heart, then I wash it straight away. They clean it straight away. That's why we do dhikr. Just like today we did sins during the day. Take the tasbih in the night. Sins are washed away. Then you do a sin again in the evening. Take the tasbih. Sins are washed away. To this extent, if you come to the majlis of dhikr, then Allah says, all the sins are wiped away. Not just a few, all of them. I've forgiven you. Just like when we'll depart from this gathering, an announcement will be made in the heavens, go and forgive all of these people. End of story. Sins removed. Look at this great point. Why? Because your heart is clean. So this was a majlis greater than doing dhikr on your own. So Allah says, all your previous sins wiped away. Alhamdulillah. Just like the sahaba ikram, that just if we stay in this condition all the time. So I'm telling you the hadith now. That if the person stays in this condition, just like you're sat down in this gathering, so clean and pure, detached from the sins, and you wash your sins from your heart, if a person stays in this state, then what will be his conclusion? That in the roadway, in the streets, the angels will shake hands with that person. You'll start seeing angels near you. There are people like this, alhamdulillah, mawjood in the world, that whatever majlis they're in, then the rest, mashallah, of their life, they spend the time like that. They stay in dhikr, they remember Allah, their hearts are alive, so their hearts are beating to Allah's name. So what happens always, every second they are immersed and busy in dhikr, they don't speak about second thing. And their halat, their conclusion is such, that just like when they sat in the majlis and their sins were being washed away, they're so clean and pure that the angels recognize that person. They say salam to that person while he's walking. They come in a different form. Oh, can we see who this man is? Oh, I saw this man. He was an angel. And sometimes they come in the form of a human being. The angels, that remember, I remember yesterday, he said, no, I didn't meet you. He said, no, I met you yesterday, don't you remember? I didn't come to that place. Many times it happens, isn't it? That I saw your face somewhere before like this, you were passing in the car. He said, no, I didn't go to that place. I saw you myself, you were there. And who are those people in reality? They're the angels who come in the form of a man, they shake your hands and they depart. You don't even know. This is the maqam of mine and yours, we can attain this. Just a little bit of focus, effort, on what we are living for. What great status is Allah has given to His human beings. What great opportunities Allah has given, and what great ranks and levels we can attain while we're living. Tell me. So brothers, the people who make effort, then death comes, then Qiyamah comes. On the day of Qiyamah, they will rise on that level. Their hearts will be clean. Then their heart will be clean upon clean. Rasulullah's habits will come into your life as you wash your hearts. This is the reward of purifying the heart. Nothing else comes. You know, so people say it's kashf and visions and miracles and I saw dreams and the heavens. This has no link with the soul. The cleaning of the heart, as your heart is cleaned and clean and clean, then all of the good manners and characteristics of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam start to come into your heart and life. Remember this. Yes, nothing else comes. Nothing else. The honest heart that is purified, I'm telling you the signs. Nothing else comes into the heart. Totally, those things will come into the heart which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left whilst he was living, disliking the world, speaking good, high level akhlaq. All of those things, akhlaqiyat, that were the high level actions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's what will come into the heart of a person. And if you explain to him, we've done dhikr, our heart is clean, we're doing dhikr, and our habits have not left, then we're not cleaning the heart, then you're doing some other dhikr, you're not doing the pure dhikr, you're not doing the dhikr of Allah. If a person Don't remember, you won't be forgiven for doing dhikr on its own. Otherwise Allah would have said something else. No, you can't just be forgiven for doing dhikr. If you don't see the result of your dhikr, then you cannot succeed. Do dhikr and there should be a result. That definitely our heart is clean, so clean that all of the akhlaqi husna of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam have started to come into our lives. We don't oppress anyone, we don't do dhulm, we don't commit fraud, we don't swear against anyone, we don't oppress anyone, we don't get angry, we're satisfied. And all the safat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that were in the sahaba ikram, through dhikr they come into our hearts and the heart starts to become made. And from that there will be one sift, one attribute, what's to do dhikr, what's to do dhikr. If that attribute comes in your life, those are the people who will be called on the day of judgment. What is that attribute? That quality, that sign, I'll tell you now. We are dhakir, mashallah, we do dhikr. So let's look in the mirror. Let's look inside ourselves. Have I got that maqam? Am I one of those people who've got this quality? Let's think. That habit due to which will be called on the day of judgment. In the hadith is stated, there will be those people who will be called at that time and will be told, Allah will call them and Allah will say, come, take your reward from me, you are forgiven beyond forgiven. Who will be those people? Those people who purified their heart, purified, cleaned their heart, and they took this habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they imprinted it into their heart. Which habit? Subhanallah. That they would forgive people's mistakes immediately. Allahu Akbar. They would forgive, overlook people's deficiencies immediately. People's deficiencies and mistakes, they would forgive immediately. And how would they forgive? That they would not allow that mistake to come to their heart. They said, go, I've forgiven you, go. This was a blessed and Mubarak, blessed habit of the Prophet ﷺ. And in my eyes, I see this blessed habit greater than others. Until today, the dunya have not understood what a great akhlaq manners the Prophet ﷺ had. The ghaib people can understand. What was it? Even today, they are forced to think and recognize and accept. And accept. That their brains don't accept that in that same city where Rasulullah ﷺ, all his life, there was enmity meted out to him, thorns were laid in his path and stones were thrown on him, he was turfed out of his home, he was imprisoned, which dhulam was not implemented. A young girl, Hazrat Fatimah Zuhra radiallahu anha, small hands, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sat in front of the Kaaba, and people came and did dhulam, and Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha came and cleaned the body of her father. Said she was crying, father, let's go from here, these people won't let us live here. And Rasulullah sallam gave encouragement to his daughter. And that maqam, such big enemies, such people, that when he was going back home, they all thought that today problems are going to occur. We did dhulam against these people. And when Rasul came back on the conquest to Makkah, then thing is, was this a small thing? They were afraid. Revenge is going to be taken back on us. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed justice and love. And Rasulullah gathered everyone, said, go, I forgive all of you, go. On top of that, the biggest enemy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the biggest enemy at that time, he wasn't just forgiven, but Rasulullah said that whoever seeks refuge in this man's home, I forgive him as well. Allahu Akbar. That what was made, the enemy's home was made a shelter. Go, you can hide there and I will forgive you, overlook you. This quality is not inside us and we want Jannah. Oh, I do other actions, I pray, worship. Allah says, my deen is khalis, my servants, deen is khalis. Do khalis ibadah, pure ibadah worship. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Travel on this, don't travel on the deen. You've made, this is the deen. This is the same deen, to obey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to imitate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is deen. All the hard work we do, dhikr, adhkar, tazkiyah, going to the shaykh, all of this leads to one conclusion, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's obedience and imitation needs to come into our lives. One, this sift, if it comes, just one quality, on the day of judgment, Allah says you'll be unique and separate from the other people. You'll have a different maqam. Can we do this? 40 years we've done dhikr, and then when the enemy comes in front of us, oh, I'm going to destroy him, oh, I'm going to take revenge on him, oh, we've changed our faces and our bodies and our appearance, but that dirty habit doesn't come out of our hearts. My brothers, this is the genuine article that we need to adopt in our life. Yes, we should forgive others in such a way that there should not be a speck of hatred left in our hearts. Rather, it should be an environment of friendship and love. Rather, you should be so close to that person that Allah Ta'ala will elevate your darajat of qurb, and the safada into you or him, mutually you'll exchange and benefit. You'll forget that he did dhulam to me, oppressed me. Subhanallah. Can we do this? Can anyone from amongst us do this? Only that person can do this. Only that person can do this action if this beautiful quality of Rasulullah comes into his heart. You'll have seen this, that many places that today, for example, at that time, for example, when the Prophet at the time of Uhud was wounded and his tooth was fell out, and there was tests and challenges, extreme challenges. And what was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying? Doing dua, subhanallah, Allah ta'ala. These people, they don't know, forgive them, give them hidayah, guidance. Sahaba Ikram said, oh Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, give them a curse. Rasulullah said, I did not come to give curses, I came to give duas. Duas, what a deen Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And today, look at the hal of the ummah. Look at our ummah. Can we see this anywhere today in our Islamic communities and society, where we forgive and overlook the mistakes of people against us, and we don't see this? This is a sign of qiyamah, not in our home, not outside. Sister, brother, wife, children, wherever we are, revenge, no need to forgive. Oh, he done this, I won't leave him. Oh, my chacha did this, I'm going to seek revenge on him. My father, oh, he did this and that, I'm going to take revenge on this. Oh, I did this, he did this, I will not leave that person. Subhanallah. Revenge being revenge, wherever our salah gone, ibadah, worship, all these things are sealed in a box. And nobody wants to ask Allah, how can we succeed and attain this in the hereafter? So this is how the deen is taught. Allahu Akbar. Allah is greatest. Look at Taif. The day of Taif. Tell me. Such severity. The Prophet ﷺ was beaten. Rocks and boulders thrown on him. That his blessed Nalain Sharifain, his blessed slippers, the blood flowed down his body and came onto his slippers, that the slippers joined like glue to his blessed feet. There's so much blood flowed from the blessed body of Rasulullah ﷺ that blood stuck to his feet on his slippers. The heavens and the earth shook. The angels were shaking on the heavens. They came, O Prophet of Allah, come. The angel of the mountains, angel of the seas said, tell us, O Prophet, we'll destroy these people. And on what was the answer? No food, no drink, nothing. And the Prophet had raised his hands. Allah, these people, they're ignorant, they have misunderstanding, they don't know. You are the one who's most glorious. Maybe from amongst these people, there'll be people who'll be born who will do your ibad. Allah, don't destroy them, don't destroy them. Give them a chance. Allahu Akbar. Allah says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةٌ لِلْآلَمِينَ. That such a rahmah, such a mercy to the universe, subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala has laid out the rahmah in the world. That Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his great personality, Allah said that you came physically to this world until the day of Qiyamah. Allah says, even those people who don't believe in me, I won't give the adab that I gave to the previous nations due to the attachment with this great final Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Ta'ala said that I didn't give you the opportunities, that I didn't give the previous ummahs the opportunities that I've given to you. Now you've set forth on this earth. Allah says, there's rahmah beyond rahmah. There will be no ghadab of mine on this earth due to you, O Rasulullah. So what about that ummah that, for example, they are the ummatis, the nation of the Prophet Muhammad? Should they be like this who they are today? Today, if we, for example, tell someone good, and if you look at someone, why is he like this? He punches you. Why do you say this to me? Why do you tell me? You've come, oh people who do dhikr of Allah, after today, we need to look into our hearts. Towards that, let's not waste our dhikr, that our efforts we're making, let's not make them go to waste if we don't do the right thing. Every day, morning and evening, tests come to our lives, challenges, and especially those that dhakirin, who say that we are purifying our hearts, we come to dhikr to purify ourselves. Allah says, no, you're munafiq, all of you, you're not cleaning your hearts, you're lying. You're lying. Allah Ta'ala is khabir and basir. He knows every action and what we say. That from morning till evening, Allah says that I have said, for example, we say I'm going to take revenge on this person, I'm going to beat that person, I'm going to swear that person. Imagine the person who dhulam comes on, make a list, I swear by Allah. Many people come that I'm dirty, impure, and I'll tell you about that person. Is this not the case? Even today, if it was an announcement was to be made to me and you, all of us, that who are those people? Everyone will stand that this man did this for me, he did this against me, he does this. From relatives, they'll complain. People come from outside. We were there. He did dhulm against in India. He took this much money of ours. He did this to us. He lied to us. He did this action and that action. We will be exposed. Allah Ta'ala said, what dhikr are you doing? What dhikr are you doing? Do you remember some bhagwan or idol? If you remembered me, then this would not occur. If you remember me, then I wash the heart of that person, subhanAllah. And after washing it, what do? Allah says, I put the color of Rasulullah into that person's life. But you have nothing inside you. Small points, you can start getting angry, you want to take revenge. And you take revenge with those people that you're living in their homes. Yourself. Children you don't leave, the wife, the people of the household, and other relatives you don't leave. When it comes to revenge and distributing hurt and pain, then we even our own people, for many years we don't meet our own because of small things and our noses are in there. Dhikr, I do dhikr, I'm bayah with this person, this sheikh, and I'm his student. No, that is some other dhikr. You're not doing dhikr of Allah. I swear by Allah. I swear by Allah, if a person does the dhikr of Allah, his heart will always be clean and pure. Allah Ta'ala stated this. We don't do dhikr, my brothers. We're doing something else. A person who does dhikr, his heart will be clean and pure. And if his heart is clean and pure, the sign is, then the color and the effect of Rasulullah's life will come. He won't lie, he'll be soft, tender-hearted. He'll have humility. He won't consider himself bigger than others. He won't think he's an alim. He won't think he's a Sufi. Nor will he think he's jahil. Nothing. Balance. Guarantee he will listen from Allah. What a great piece of good news. What a great piece of good news in the hadith that person, subhanAllah, told us. That the person who does dhikr, dhikr, his heart is made so much that it never takes revenge on anybody. Never. What a great piece of news from before death he has attained this rank. Tell me, and we in our lives, have we ever forgiven anybody? Have we? Think about it. Yes, mashallah, maybe you have. It's not the case that you haven't. But we've probably forgotten. So that means we're not favoring anyone. Look, I forgave you. And I said, oh, okay, fine, go, I've forgiven you. I'm asking forgiveness. Is this giving forgiveness? No, forgiveness, the person who is asking forgiveness, that person who received that message, he says himself, please you forgive me. Were you upset what I said? Did I hurt you? So he says that I've done the jurum, the crime, and he's asking me for forgiveness. Allahu Akbar. What tawaza, humility Allah Ta'ala creates. And then we don't look, is he young or small or old or healthy or is he my student? No, no. He has so much khawf of Allah. His heart is so soft. The same safat that was the safat of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yani, in other words, the subhanAllah, Rasulullah was there. He would get up very slowly when he was with his blessed wives. I don't want to disturb the sleep of his Aisha radiallahu anha. And he would go out very simply. A door he would open slowly, quietly. I don't want to spoil the sleep of my wife. I don't want this to happen. I remember by walking slowly, I remember an event of my husband's wife. Shall I share it with you? This is the Ashik. Masjid Nabwi, it was the Prophet's mosque, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Hazrat Sahib, it was in the evening, Hazrat Sahib left Masjid Nabi to go home in the night. And that person who gives the adhan that time, the muadhin, and he was underneath that platform after giving adhan. And that's a memorable place. From morning until evening, Hazrat Sahib would sit there all night. And it was Riyadul Jannah, all of it that time. So from there, Hazrat Sahib walked and his khadim was with him. And the Hazrat Sahib would leave from Babi Umar. From the door of Umar. You know Babi Umar near Babi Abdul Majid? Babi Umar on the left side. From there, Hazrat Sahib would depart. And there was quite a distance from here to there. So he saw that Hazrat Sahib, such small, small footsteps he's walking. Such small, small footsteps that maybe Hazrat Sahib's health today is very down. What's the reason? What's the reason? So when he left, he said, Hazrat Sahib, that is there pain in your leg? Shall I press the legs for you? Or shall I prepare transportation for you? You can't walk. What's the problem? Hazrat Sahib looked at him and he saw that there were tears on Hazrat Sahib's face. He said, no, I'm fine. He was a special helper of Hazrat Sahib. And so Hazrat Sahib told him, shared the secret. What is it then? He said, Hazrat Sahib said, no special reason, walking slow. I was afraid that maybe the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is resting and I don't want him to be disturbed from the noise from my footsteps. SubhanAllah. Was this a drama? In reality, his heart had become like this. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. So much adab had come into his life. This was the maqam of Hazrat Sahib's life that his heart would tremble from this. From this it would tremble and shake. So what does this become? This becomes, the heart becomes, is made by dhikr. As a person does dhikr of Allah, remembers Allah, here we do dhikr. Some people, when we're doing dhikr, they're phoning other people. Some people's phones are on. Oh, an important message is going to come, a phone call. And they sit like that in the majlis. And in their phone, the rings, tick, 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 tick. Yeah, information, notifications, and the satin thicken. And Allah is saying, what should you do? That when you remember me, then no one should be close to you at that time. In your heart, there should be no thought of anyone else. That you are rujoo towards Allah. You're remembering your Rabb, and you're crying about something else at that time? So what sort of tariqah method is this of remembering me? Which sadness points are you sat with and crying over? I'm telling you the truth. That from the phone, the tick-tick noises, they go outside, then they look at the message, then come back, then they leave again, slowly, slowly. For example, there's money, or I don't want the message to come into my business, I don't want no loss. So it's sat here in front of me. They have the notification sound, the ringing. How many years? and they'll count the years, 25 years, 40 years, 50 years, this many years, count the years. And the effect of this company? Zero. So on the Day of Judgment, what will we do? Allah's name is so great. It's so great. Subhanallah is so great a name that to a true ashik, if he says once in his heart with sincerity and love, then his whole body trembles and he becomes Noor ala Noor. Just by saying Allah once, this is the extent of purification he attains. If somebody, for example, there's a company for purification, they say that if you wipe this, then the vacuum cleaner will pull up and clean totally. And the company says, yes, 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 if you do this and wipe this vacuum cleaner and push it on the floor, it will wipe it clean. So Allah says, it doesn't matter how many sins you do, say my name and I will purify you clean and pure. But we don't want to say the name of Allah. As I told to you, isn't it? Whose name do we call? Whose name do we call out? Somebody else. So do you understand, my brothers? This is the meaning of the hadith. What do we need to become? We need to be included in that group of people who do the dhikr of Allah on the Day of Judgment. When the announcement is made that come, why you stood there upset, Allah is calling you, your transportation is ready, come in the best transport and come to Allah and take your rewards. Take your rewards. Subhanallah. And what do we need to do for that day? We need to make effort. What's the effort we need to make now? My friends, what's the effort we need to make? That we need to do the dhikr of Allah so we can wipe clean our hearts. How much do we need to wipe clean our hearts? That Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's blessed habits come into our lives. If anger comes, suppress it. No, because then I will spoil my habits and my routine. Totally compare. If you want your dhikr to be high level, don't compare with anything else. I saw a dream today, this is happening, that's happening. All of this has no link with the dhikr. Nothing at all, nothing. No dream, vision, floating, etc. All night long you can wander in Makkah, Medina, do ziyarah of this person, that ziyarah. No, it will not affect the heart. One ziyarah is the greatest ziyarah, subhanallah. One ziyarah, subhanallah. That I'll tell you the greatest ziyarah. That person, if his heart is made, the mutabar ziyarah, he's fana. Sometimes in his dream he sees his sheikh, subhanallah. And if he sees his sheikh regularly, then consider that his heart is made, subhanallah, subhanallah. I'm telling you this. This is one sign that he can start to see his hazrat in his dream. He just he bows his head, he sees Hazrat. In his heart is the image of his friend. So much is that his heart is connected to his Shaykh. When the fairs comes, the true, sadiq, sincere, truthful student continues to do the ziyarah of his Shaykh and the guidance continues to come. So this is the sign I've told you, that then the heart starts to become mate. So may Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, ability, capability that the hadith Allah Ta'ala has allowed us with His grace and blessings and mercy. He's allowed us to listen to, given us a great message that don't waste your days and lives. You can pull yourself together, and after pulling yourself together with totally akhlaqi husna, bring akhlaqi husna into your lives. Until we don't bring, if we don't bring akhlaqi husna into our lives, we cannot be successful. And morning and evening we'll taste this. That sometimes from the children, wife, there's an argument in the masjid committee argument, this, stop this, switch this off, morning and evening. Allah Ta'ala takes tests from us. Because Allah wants to give us high status, high reward. So from morning until night, pay attention to this, that I did dhikr, did I benefit from that? Did I disrespect somebody? Did I swear to somebody that he did this to me or my children? Did I forgive him from my heart? I won't let him feel any time. I won't repeat it. All these words in the evening when you lie down in your bed, did I do this? Did I do this? Did I do this? Then be grateful, Allah, my heart is progressing in the right direction. I'm succeeding. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.